Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 3:37 British Summer Time. Today is September 28th. I apologize for the early recording of this audio, but I need to drive to Dublin this evening and I won't be at home to record it later. If we summarize what's been happening in the market so far today, Asia was relatively quiet. The A-share index in China was a bit lower. The Hang Seng was down by about 0.2%. The Nikkei was relatively unchanged. The ASX was stronger by about 0.8%. In the last hour, modest advances in Europe have been reversed, and the DAX is currently down about 1%. The FTSE down about 1.3%, and the OMX down about 2%. Now that's following very strong gains yesterday. In the USA, the Dow Jones is currently in slightly positive territory. The S&P is in slightly negative territory. There are a number of data points or news items that are potentially relevant in here today. The first is that the EU is again proposing a financial transaction tax. They are estimating that that's going to raise approximately 78 billion a year. That proposal has been shot down on a number of occasions previously by the European Council of Ministers. So it's been shot down in a number of other instances. It's not at all sure whether that is actually going to get passed. It would require a 78 billion per year is a substantial amount of money, and they are probably looking at that as a potential way to fund various bailouts. But it would also be a major headwind for the financial sector, which is already under significant pressure. Then you have the in the USA, there are continued worries about a slowdown. Capital goods orders today came in stronger, so that is pointing towards a recovery. People are still very worried about the financial sector, and we have seen a slowdown in growth expectations pretty much everywhere. Another point that is, I think, quite relevant is that mid-morning this morning, within about 5 minutes of each other, I received two extraordinarily bearish reports from two very diverse sources. And I would At Fuller Money, we have a policy of attempting not to write knocking copy. And when so I did not reproduce these reports because they're hysterically bearish. They aren't particularly grounded in fact. But they are symptomatic of the extreme bearishness that exists out there in the market. When we look at the chart action, most markets lost downward momentum on the 8th and 9th of August. Some moved to marginal new lows. The DAX in Germany is an example of one of those markets. But Wall Street has been a relative strength performer. If one looks at the currency adjusted returns of various indices, the Dow Jones is down about 3.5% year to date. The DAX is down 18%. The FTSE is down 11% in US dollar terms. So the USA has been a relative strength leader, and that is unlikely to change in here. The Nasdaq, despite some extraordinary volatility, is one of the few indices that has been able to push back up into its overhead range. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen that the Asian currencies have fallen precipitously. The US dollar has strengthened considerably. Over the last couple of days, the US dollar has unwound at least part of its overbought condition. But it's above its 200-day moving average against a whole slew of currencies. The relative performance of the USA, the fact that the focus, the epicenter of global risk is now in the Eurozone rather than the USA, is a point in its favor. The liquidity of the US dollar makes it a potential safe haven in times of crisis, and people have become extraordinarily bearish. While the US dollar has weakened somewhat in the last few days, it doesn't look like anything other than an unwinding of the short-term overbought condition. If it continues to find support above its respective 200-day moving averages against a whole number of currencies, then the medium-term upside can continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. That's not particularly bullish for the commodity complex. Gold at present is down about $10, but it's had a fantastic bounce off its 200-day moving average. Such has been the pace of the decline that we would expect additional volatility. But if the price action is going to remain as consistent as it has been for almost 2 years, then it should continue to find support in the region of the 200-day moving average. A period of support building is required, and the shape of that has yet to be determined, but a period of support building is required for gold. That would mean that there's no need to rush in, that there will be ample opportunity to accumulate a position as gold finds support potentially in the region of the 200-day moving average. Nothing has occurred to really question the secular bull market for gold, and it has just unwound an overbought condition relative to the EMA that came close to equaling record overextension seen over the last decade. So, on previous occasions, that has brought it back into a buying range from the perspective of the long-term investor. Silver has pulled back below its 200-day moving average. We've often referred to silver as high beta gold, and it has certainly been considerably more volatile than gold. A number of the industrial metals found support this week. Copper in particular rallied. They will have to continue to find support above last week's lows if the short-term upside is to be given the benefit of the doubt. Oil remains too strong by half, particularly that Brent crude contract. The spread between the Brent crude and West Texas Intermediate is still close to a record peak, and the comparatively lower price for U.S. oil reflects the rather positive supply-demand fundamentals that exist in that market. But Brent crude remains above $100. It found support above $100 earlier this week. It bounced rather well. It closed out the day yesterday in the region of 106. It's currently around 105. It really does need to push back below $100 to remove a stiff headwind for global growth. Most of the commentary that's out there is extraordinarily bearish towards Europe. That's because European politicians have been rather ham-fisted in they're in creating the atmosphere of faith in their ability to deal with this crisis. They have a large number of tools that are potentially at their disposal if they want to deal with this crisis effectively, but the will has so far been missing. The fact that we're getting such incredibly bearish commentary to the fact that Germany's about to leave the euro, that the entire currency is going to disintegrate, that we're going to have a complete collapse in the European financial sector, are at the hysterical spectrum of potential outcomes. Politicians are survivalists. They know that if that were a realistic possibility, they would have to do something about it. The very fact that you are getting these bearish expectations could act as a potential catalyst to initiate some strong leadership and tough decisions to be made by various politicians. Backsliding is what we really do need to be wary of in this kind of environment among politicians. This remains an extraordinarily volatile environment. Stock markets have been up 1 week and down the next. So far, this week has been rather positive. Today, we're seeing that markets are giving up some of their powerful gains over the last 2 and 3 days. When we look at a number of these stock markets, particularly the DAX, it rallied yesterday to test its progression of lower rally highs. The European Banking Index broke above the 100 level yesterday, broke above 105 yesterday. It's a small bit weaker in here today. But it's broken its progression of lower rally highs. It needs to sustain the break if the upside is to be given the benefit of the doubt. The fact that we're getting that reasonably positive action, it's potentially the beginning of bottoming activity, against a background of extraordinarily bearish sentiment is rather positive. I'm tempted to regard these bearish reports coming in quick succession as a contrary indicator, but I will be guided by the chart action, and so far the chart action says that the supply and demand components have come back into equilibrium, at least in the short term, and the pause that we've seen over the last almost 7 weeks now could still be a distribution below the various top formations, or it could be the beginning of a support building phase. The volatility that we've seen, it certainly indicates that people are bearish at the lower side of the range and a bit more bullish at the upper side of the range. What we need to see people or these indices doing is breaking out of these 7 week ranging phases and pushing back above their respective 200-day moving averages, where relevant, pushing back up into their overhead trading ranges. That would give us conclusive evidence, but that could also be 20% from where markets are right now. There has been a marked difference between industrial shares and consumer shares. In the consumer bracket, there's a large number of those shares are still above their respective 200-day moving averages. That's where the really big story is. It's this is going to be the decade of the Asian consumer primarily. And the demand for just about every convenience that we take for granted is continuing to advance. The consistency that we see in some of those consumer shares is certainly a point in their favor. If we do get a marked slowdown in the global economy, then those consumer shares are unlikely to remain immune from selling pressure. But so far, they have remained relative strength leaders, particularly those that offer attractive yields, either from the perspective of a large dividend payout or from the reliability of their dividend payout, and in some cases both. Those dividend aristocrats in the USA, that's shares that have been increasing their dividend for the last 25 years, offer a security in terms of their dividend, and those that have a global franchise and are leveraged to the growth of the global consumer have been outperforming. That's where, after every major stock market correction, there's always a sector that is outperforming. That's usually the sector that is likely to lead in a recovery type of scenario. And it's the consumer-led sector that all the arrows are pointing to on this occasion. With that, I will leave you for the evening or the afternoon, and I'll be back on Friday. Thank you for your time.